This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. The weather may be cold, but it's too soon to get out on the Kuskokwim River ice. That's the message from Mark Leary with Bethel Search and Rescue, who flew the river on Wednesday.
We're nowhere near having safe travel conditions. Nowhere near, and we need to stress that.
The Kuskokwim is nowhere near frozen. The edge of the freezing ice is just a bit past the confluence with the Johnson River.
As best as we could tell from that half mile below the Johnson, the Kuskokwim main channel is open all the way out to the bay.
Leary says ice is forming up better than it did 2 years ago when the winter was the warmest on record, but it is not freezing as fast or as well as last winter when the river froze and conditions were near perfect. This winter, there's open water near each of the tundra villages. In addition, there are some stretches of ice piled up in rough stretches on the Johnson River.
Several sections of the lower Johnson had broken up in that storm. That high windstorm we had the other day, and piled up and refroze. So there's some pretty long stretches in there that are very, very rough. That might be an issue later on when we start making roads and trails.
Closer to Bethel, Strait Slough is much further along in freezing than it ever was last year, but it is not safe yet, and it looks like one often used section may be a bad spot most of the winter.
Just right exactly where people would cross, going from Strait Slough to Church Slough, that area, that crossing in there, is got numerous open holes and very thin ice, freshly frozen.
Leary says Kuskokwim Slough is also too dangerous to use.
Although it's frozen, it has so many open holes you can't even count them. It's completely riddled with open holes.
Leary did see some people out on the ice, fishing near their villages, and he says it made him smile.
Every village, there were many people out on the ice munucking. Even with this pandemic going on, they go out in the clean, fresh air. They carefully go out on the new young ice, and they fish for some fresh food. What better prevention?
Leary says Bethel Search and Rescue has flown out to survey the river on the same day 3 years in a row to build up a basis for comparing the different patterns of freeze-up. Mark Leary's entire discussion of ice conditions can be heard on the KYUK website under the Coffee at KYUK tab. In education, after 5 years, the Lower Kuskokwim School District has reached a settlement with its insurance companies for the Kilbuck School fire. The school burned down in November of 2015. LKSD made the announcement in a press release on Wednesday. For 5 years, students at the Iyapun Utlet Narvik Yupik Immersion School have been learning in the Kapuzvik building, which used to be a grocery store. And the Kuskokwim Learning Academy students have been housed at Utlet Narvet, the region's Adult Workforce Development Center. With the insurance settlement from the fire, the district says construction for these students' new school will begin in the summer next year. The press release did not disclose the terms of the settlement. Design for the new school has been underway for 2 years. It will be located on the same campus as the Bethel Regional High School. In Wednesday's press release, LKSD Superintendent Kimberly Hankins said, quote, "The Kilbuck School fire was a tragedy for our district, our employees, and our students. This agreement will allow us to proceed with finalizing the plans for a new school and help our district heal and move forward." In pandemic news, Alaska is contending with its biggest spike of COVID-19 since the pandemic began earlier this year. But new treatments and vaccines are coming soon that could help slow the disease's spread and reduce its severity. One looming challenge is getting those medicines to rural communities like in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Nat Herz with Alaska Public Media has more.
You've probably heard about the Pfizer vaccine. The drug maker says it's 95% effective with no serious side effects. But it also has to be kept at the ridiculously cold temperature of negative 95 degrees Fahrenheit. And once the vaccine is thawed, it lasts just 5 days in a refrigerator. Dan Winkleman is chief executive of the Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation, a tribal healthcare provider that's responsible for 4 dozen villages and a regional hub community in southwest Alaska.
There's places on the coast when the weather goes down for a week, and there's no planes, there's no medevacs of any kind. So we need to be smart about this.
Experts say it will be hard enough to get the Pfizer vaccine to rural lower 48 communities on the road system. But Alaska is another step up, given challenges like bad weather and the inability to drive to many of the state's rural communities. Winkleman says his frontline employees, who are likely to be first in line for vaccinations, need the same kind of access in tiny villages as healthcare workers in urban or rural hub settings.
If you're in, Nunamiqua, or if you're in Kotlik or Chivac and there's an outbreak there, you're going to be exposed to a lot of virus potentially. And so, they definitely need to get the vaccine, just as someone here in the hospital does too.
While the vaccine logistics sound like a daunting problem, there's also some good news. First, there's another vaccine from Moderna that appears to be just as effective as Pfizer's and can last for a full month in a refrigerator. That could make it a better fit for rural areas like the one served by Winkleman's organization. Second, the state already has a solid standardized system for getting other types of vaccines out to rural places, like for the flu, says Matt Bobo, who supervises Alaska's immunization program. Bobo says it depends on the tribal healthcare providers, since they're the ones that best understand the logistics of their region.
So they all use the same coolers, they all use continuous recording thermometers that go in these packages, and then they have relationships with their airlines to get to these rural villages. And so they have them on the phone dial and they call them, say, we're going to send a package to some place, and they make sure it gets to where it goes.
The state, Bobo says, watches in the background, making sure the process runs smoothly. He says the state is also doing an assessment with its tribal healthcare providers right now and discussing any concerns about existing shipping arrangements. It's not just the COVID-19 vaccine that's a challenge to get out to rural Alaska, though. There's also a new type of drug called a monoclonal antibody infusion that can be given in the disease's early stages. It's shown promise in keeping people out of the hospital, but it has to be delivered through an IV by a healthcare provider, which isn't necessarily possible in a village setting, says Coleman Cutchins, a pharmacist with the state health department.
In general, this whole class of drugs are only really given, kind of in hospitals or infusion centers. We don't really see them given, in more remote settings.
The supply of these antibodies is extremely tight right now. The state's initial grant from the federal government was just 240 doses. But some tribal healthcare providers say they still ultimately hope the federal government will support antibody treatment in more remote settings. As for the vaccine, Winkleman, with a Southwest Alaska tribal healthcare provider, says he could even see calling on the National Guard to help get the Pfizer vaccine out to his region. But he says he's confident the distribution will ultimately be worked out. That's the easy part. The more urgent issue in his mind is simply having the vaccine approved and ready to use.
Just getting the vaccine. That's what we need. We need it now.
Pfizer says it's planning to ask the federal government for emergency authorization for its vaccine within days. In Anchorage, I'm Nat Herz.
Lastly, in our daily COVID count, the Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation announced 37 new cases of COVID-19 yesterday. In alphabetical order by community, there was 1 case in Aniak, 9 in Bethel, 1 in Chivac, 1 in Eek, 3 in Congiganak, 3 in Gweethluk, 2 in Nabuskiak, 7 in Pilot Station, 2 in Quinnahawk, 3 in Skamon Bay, and 2 in Tuluksac. 1 person with COVID was medevaced out of the region yesterday for advanced medical care. There are 387 active cases in the region. Since March, YKHC has announced 1,650 cases, 20 hospitalizations, and 10 deaths. Yesterday, another Alaska resident died, bringing the statewide total of Alaskans who've died from COVID-19 to 100. This is KYUK News. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. Thanks for listening. Please email your news tips to news@kyuk.org and stay tuned for News Yukdun coming up.